So next Sunday will be the first Sunday of the new year, and as is our tradition here, we will have communion service as a body next Sunday. No better way to start the year than with communion. But this morning, we're going to continue forward in our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John. And we are in John chapter 7 this morning, so I invite you to turn in your Bibles there. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 18 this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we count it a great privilege and blessing to have moments of time like this, where we can gather together freely and worship you. Lord, where we have the opportunity to study your word together. And Lord, we recognize that if we are quiet enough and if we listen, you do have a word for us. So I pray that we would hear what you have to say from your word here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I want to speak to you a little bit about doctrine. Good doctrine. Now, there are some folks who don't like that word, doctrine. They avoid it like it's a dirty word or something. They hear the word doctrine and they think that's boring, that's dull. It's irrelevant to my life. That's what theologians talk about in their theological institutions. Well, I want you to know doctrine is not boring. Amen. Doctrine is not irrelevant, quite to the contrary. The Greek word for doctrine is didache, and simply means this, teaching. That's all that doctrine is, teaching or instruction. Or training. And teaching is of utmost importance in life. We can't do anything without teaching. It's essential. As kids, we're taught how to tie our shoes. We're taught how to dress. We're taught how to ride bikes. When we get older, we're taught how to drive cars. We go to school and we're taught how to read, write, do math. We are taught trades and skills that help us make a living. You can't do anything without teaching, without doctrine. It's so important and it's so essential, and we definitely need doctrine when it comes to spiritual truth. Spiritual teaching concerning eternal matters. And I believe that that doctrine better be the best, don't you? I mean, the greatest stakes when it comes to eternity. Much, much dependent upon what you believe and what you understand. So this morning, I want to share four principles with you concerning doctrine, good spiritual truth from our text. Let's begin reading. Look at verse 14. It says, "Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and did what? Taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters, having never studied?' Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. This chapter takes place while the Jews are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. It was a week-long celebration. Jerusalem is packed with Jewish pilgrims from all over the place. And at this point, there is a tension. There is a controversy building and surrounding Jesus. Everyone's wondering about Jesus. Everyone's talking about Jesus. They're gossiping about Jesus. They have different opinions concerning Jesus. The religious leaders have become hostile towards Jesus. They want to get rid of Jesus. So this is this feast, and everyone is just waiting for Jesus to show up. They're expecting, they're anticipating Jesus. When's he going to show up, and what's he going to do? And after hiding out for a bit, staying very low-key, Jesus eventually makes his appearance in Jerusalem. And how does he show himself? Does he come with great fanfare? Does he fly in like Superman or Thor? Land and strike a pose? Does he miraculously feed everyone in the temple courts? Does he do some fantastic miracle that draws all this attention to himself? No, he simply comes out of hiding, walks into the temple courts, draws a crowd, and begins teaching. He begins to share doctrine. Listen, as far as Jesus was concerned, doctrine was always more important than miracles. The preaching of spiritual truth, the preaching of the gospel, the message is always to take priority over signs and wonders. Signs and wonders confirm the message, but the message is most important. So Jesus shows up and he gives doctrine. And the teaching itself of Jesus was miraculous. Nobody ever taught like Jesus. Everyone marveled when he taught. Jesus knew the Old Testament front and back, even the importance of each Hebrew letter. His teaching was insightful. It was penetrating. It was uplifting. It was comforting. Jesus was a teacher who taught with authority. We're told that several times in the Gospels, and that's something that the crowd appreciated. You see, most of the teachers in those days would stand up and just quote other rabbis and talk about all of these subjects and what Rabbi so-and-so has to say about so-and-so and all of that. Jesus came on the scene and said, "Thus saith the Lord." Here's spiritual truth. This will save your life. Teaching, doctrine, powerfully. And they marveled. And it's really interesting here in verse 15 because it says, and the Jews marveled. John is specifically speaking about the religious leaders of Judaism in Jerusalem. These are the guys that hate Jesus. They want to get rid of Jesus. And yet, when they hear Jesus teach, they marvel. They're like, wow. And why are they so blown away? It says, how does this man know letters having never studied? That's what blew them away. Jesus didn't have a formal education like they did. Jesus didn't travel in elite, heady, theological, academic circles like they did. There were at least 30 seminaries in and around Jerusalem. Jesus didn't attend one of them, let alone graduate from one of them. He had no formal training from any expert rabbi. He wasn't a part of any school. He didn't hold any degrees in theology or biblical studies. He had no PhD. He was a very simple, ordinary, average, humble carpenter from Nazareth who comes on the scene and begins to teach in a way that blows people away. And they marveled at it. And that brings me to the first principle concerning good doctrine. I want you to understand something here this morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Good doctrine, good spiritual truth is available to all Christians, regardless of education. If you are a Christian here this morning, you have the God-given capacity to understand doctrine, spiritual truth. And what I mean by that is you don't have to go to Bible school to get good doctrine. You don't have to spend years of study in an institution of higher learning to get good doctrine. You do not have to have a PhD in order to get good doctrine. Jesus did not go to seminaries. And you say, but that's Jesus, right? He wrote the Old Testament, right? He's God the Son. Yeah, that's true. I grant you that. But what about his disciples, Peter, James, and John? They also were not formally educated. They didn't go to any of the seminaries. They didn't have any theology degrees. They were very plain, uneducated, professional fishermen in Galilee. And yet, in the book of Acts, you find them understanding spiritual truth and communicating it effectively. And in many ways, the crowds that heard them preach had the same reaction to them as they did to Jesus. The religious leaders also had the same reaction to those uneducated disciples. Acts 4 says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Same word. How are these guys understanding this? They haven't been trained like us. And the verse then goes on to say, and then they realized that they had been with Jesus. My friends, that's the secret. Being with Jesus, spending time with Jesus. Christian, you have access to good doctrine. It is available to you. John says of all Christians in 1 John chapter 2, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Paul said of every Christian, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, the fact that you are a born-again Christian gives you access to spiritual teaching. That's not to say that we don't need teachers in the church, that we don't need pastors in the church, that we don't need preachers in the church. We do. We need that. We need that communication. And it is a biblical mandate for the church to have more mature Christians train and disciple younger, newer Christians. Absolutely true. But I want you to know, you're not dependent only upon that. The Holy Spirit's inside you. And he's a really good teacher. And he will work with you personally. And I am not down on Bible school or seminary or getting theological degrees at all. In fact, if you're in the ministry or want to go into the ministry, I think you should get some of that. I got some of that, and it's blessed me greatly. And I thank the Lord every single day for the resources that come out of seminaries and seminary graduates, the Greek scholars, the Hebrew scholars, the students of history and culture that write commentaries. We need that, no doubt. But never forget, those are resources. Those are tools. Nothing beats you personally spending time with Jesus and having him teach you. One of the things that I really despise is when Christians are separated into different pockets, different levels, where some Christians say, oh, we have the elite Christians and then we have the non-elite Christians. We have these Christians over here who are more spiritual than these Christians. It almost appears like some Christians seem to have more access to God than other Christians. Not true. Right there, where you sit as an individual Christian, you have access. You can be taught by the Lord. It's only a matter of, will you do it? Will you make yourself available? So good doctrine is available and accessible to all Christians. Principle number two, and this will sound obvious, but it's true. Good doctrine is God's doctrine. Real spiritual truth that you can rely on must have its source from God. And look what Jesus says in verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Understand something about Jesus during his time here. He never spoke or acted independently from the Father. Jesus, God the Son, and God the Father were always on the exact same page. The words that Jesus spoke were the words that Jesus heard from the Father. His doctrine was God's doctrine. And let me tell you, good doctrine is not man-made. It is not based on man's philosophical understanding of humanity. Good doctrine is not based on the wisdom of man. Good doctrine is not our understanding of psychology. Good spiritual truth is not man's academic understanding of the world. Good doctrine is God-given. Now, where do we have access to doctrine that has been given directly to us by God? Right here. The Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible that we hold in our hands this morning. So listen carefully. If you are a teacher in the church, a preacher in the church, a Sunday school leader in the church, a discipleship leader in the church, you had better teach the Bible. I would have no business standing up here week after week, being a comedian and trying to make you laugh, or telling funny stories, or giving the latest on current events, or the latest on psychology, or anything like that. My job is to teach the Bible. Churches are to teach the Bible. And I want to emphasize that, not just from the Bible, but the Bible. I've been to church a long time, and have you ever been to a church where you get a pastor who stands up and maybe says one verse, and that's it, leaves the Bible, and then goes all over the place doing all this stuff? That always drives me nuts. I want a good biblical meal. We shouldn't just teach from the Bible, we should teach the Bible as it is written. Systematic study of God's word, book by book, verse by verse, word by word. Every word in the Old Testament, every word in the New Testament, every verse taught in the context in which it is written. We are to teach the parts that we like, and we're to teach the parts that we don't like. It is the Bible that is God's doctrine, and it's good doctrine. Charles Spurgeon said, "It's better to preach 5 words of God's word than 5 million words of man's wisdom." Men's words may seem to be the wiser and the more attractive, but there is no heavenly life in them. And I'd like to warn you this morning, the Bible predicts that in the last days, people are not going to want good, solid Bible doctrine. In fact, Paul warned Timothy, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Spurgeon said, "One of these days you will want a microscope to find a grain of evangelical doctrine in a dozen sermons." That is a sign of last day living. People want to have teachers that tell them what they want to hear. Oh, scratch my back. Fables, stories. No, the Bible is to be taught faithfully. And I've spoken a lot about teaching, but let's talk to all of us as Christians. We should, if we want good doctrine, study the Bible for ourselves. Amen? You take the time. I mean, it's amazing. We have a book that gives us all the answers to all of the big questions in life. Why am I here? How did I get here? What's wrong with the human race? Where are we going? We have a book that teaches us all that we need to know about God. It makes us wise until salvation. We have a book that teaches us everything that we need to know about the most practical matters in all of life: marriage, parenting, money, career, conflict resolution, communication. All inspired by God. Read it. You have access to it. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." All right here. All right here. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're on the threshold of a brand new year. We make resolutions. We make goals. We're going to go on diets, right? Make it your goal this year to study your Bible. If you're a Christian this morning and you've never done that, do it. Try it. Maybe you're a Christian and you used to do that. Start again. You have access to it. You have the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. All these resources that are available to you. You can grow and grow and grow in your knowledge of good doctrine. A third principle concerning good doctrine. Listen carefully. Good doctrine will always elevate God. It will always honor and glorify God. Look at verse 18. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. He who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. I want to tell you, as a teacher of the Bible, that has been a very, very important verse for me. This is the verse that keeps me in check. I kid you not, I probably think about this verse almost before every time I entered this pulpit. Jesus says here, I don't teach or preach to bring glory to myself. I teach or preach to bring glory to the Father. Every teacher, every Bible teacher should know that and apply that. A teacher of the Bible is never to teach the Bible for personal notoriety, for personal accolades. You're never to teach the Bible to draw attention to yourself, to bring glory to yourself. You are to teach the Bible to point people to God and bring glory to him. He's the star, not you. Don't ever forget that. Again, I grew up in church. I've seen a lot of things. And I'll tell you what turns me off more than anything else. An arrogant, look at me, celebrity-like, strutting around the stage preacher. Look at me. Prideful. Wanting the attention. Wanting the applause. I don't like it. And if I ever give an air like that, somebody slap me. All right? When I look at preachers, I am looking for humility. I'm looking for humble men and women. I'm looking for men and women that are even a little bit fearful, recognizing the responsibility they have before God and his people in teaching God's word. And wanting people not to be drawn to the preacher or the teacher, but to God. Good Bible teachers will draw attention to the Lord. Not themselves. And I want to challenge you also, Christian, with this idea, this concept of whenever you study the Bible, may it elevate God. All of Scripture should honor the Lord. You have access to the Bible, and you go in and you read the Bible, and listen, when you study God's Word, you should walk away with it. Away from it with a greater appreciation of God. With a greater understanding of who God is, what he's done, what he is doing, what he will do. Go to the Bible, study the Bible, my friend, to learn more about the author. I agree with one commentator who says, we don't worship the Bible. Do we worship the Bible? No, we don't worship the Bible. We study the Bible because it points us to the one who alone is worthy of our worship. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the sustainer of all life, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of Abraham, Moses, David. When you truly study the Bible, it should turn you into a God-centered Christian. You should become less self-centered as you study the Bible. You know, there are some people, and I will tell you, they are so selfish in their Christianity. And they're even selfish in the way that they read the Bible. So, oh God, I need. I have this problem. Tell me how awesome I am, God. Do this and this and this. Listen, we need to go to the Bible to find out more about God. And I promise you, if you get your mind off yourself and your mind on God, everything else in life will fall into place. It's all about where you look. Paul the Apostle could write, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul the Apostle could say, for me, to live is Christ. That's it. That's why I live. To die is gain. Your study of God's word should make you more like that. Principle number four, very important. Good doctrine must be received with obedient submission. It must be received with obedient submission. Look at verse 17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Now, do you see the correlation between doing and knowing? If anyone wills to do, he shall know. Revelation comes with application of the revelation you've been given. When you know something, you do something, which then allows you to know more, which then allows you to do more, and so the process goes. You must obey. You must apply, you must live what you're reading. And you'll be given more knowledge. As one person put it, obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. Obedience is the door through which revelation enters. Or as Jesus himself put it, therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. You know what that, basically what Jesus is saying, use it or lose it. You study God's word, you're given light, you immediately apply it, you immediately live it, you immediately obey it. No questions asked. And then more knowledge comes. Be so careful that you don't study the Bible just to become intellectually smart about the Bible. Yes, we need to understand certain things about God and theological things, but the Bible is a very active book. And it's not filled with suggestions. It's filled with commands for us. And so when you read it, you obey it. And my friend, listen, we must always maintain this very submissive attitude towards God's word. When you come to God's word is in charge, not you. And we come as servants and we say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears, and I will obey." And it'll change your life. You know, we do a lot of counseling, and a lot of times before I'll do any counseling whatsoever with someone, I'll ask them, what do you believe about the Bible? Do you believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God? Do you believe every command in here is true? And sometimes I'll get the response, "Well, that depends." That depends. Yeah, that depends about what God's word might be saying about my situation. There is no "that depends." God said it, you do it. You grab it, you live it. Good doctrine, spiritual truth. How blessed we are. Catch fire on that idea this morning. You're a Christian, you have access. You're not a part of this circle of Christians that has limited access. You have direct access. We all have Bibles. We can study them. We can read them. We can apply them. As you're studying God's word, seek to come away with a greater understanding of God. Let it make you become more God-centered. And then as you find those things that you're obviously required to do, do it. Change your life. We'll grow like crazy. Amen. You know, the more I think about life and the more I think about living the Christian life, the battleground is always where? It's always in the mind, right between your ears. Everything in life happens here first before it actually happens. And I just think it's so important that we fill here with doctrine, with truth. We need it. There's a lot of garbage out there that you can fill your mind with. I want to close with one of my favorite verses. I say that all the time, don't I? This really is a favorite verse of mine. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Fill your brain with those things. And he goes on to say, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me," Paul says, "these do. And the God of peace will be with you." Father, I pray that your peace would be with us in 2019. I ask, Lord, that this next year would be a year of tremendous spiritual growth for your people. Lord, I pray that we would not have any part of the gang that falls away from sound doctrine. I pray that we would stay true to your word. God, I pray for your people this morning. Perhaps there are some who used to be really good about studying your word. I pray that you would give them that hunger again, starting right now. Hunger for it. Lord, I pray for a consistent attitude in our hearts this year of humility before you and this willingness to do what you tell us to do. Help us. Be glorified through your word, and be glorified in the way your word is communicated by your people. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.